Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Here we go, JV. Who they? Who they? Who they say gonna beat the Bengals? Who they? Who they? Who they say gonna beat the Bengals? No!
Fuck you. We like the Bengals. Starts now.
And welcome back to Fuck You, We Like the Bengals. I'm your host, Alex Schubert. Lloyd is out this week, so on Zoom, we have a friend of the pod. I met him at Brouhaha in, was it 2022?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, the last one.
Yeah, Donnie Sangstack. Dude, how the fuck have you been?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I'm getting ready to go on the road this week. I'm doing pretty much a full week on the road. I'm doing Best Night Ever in Chicago tomorrow. Then I'm doing Comedy Corner Underground up in Minneapolis all this weekend. And I was talking with a friend of mine from Madison. I have a pretty good shot at getting a comedy on state this week.
Oh, nice. Yeah, the Wednesday show is good, and that club is fantastic. I love Madison as a city, and you're catching all those upper Midwestern towns on like the last probably manageable weekend of the entire year. Well, and they're not like 15 degrees below zero.
Oh my God, absolutely. And Cincinnati is kind of more of the same, where it's been like people have Christmas decorations up when it's t-shirt weather up here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're a Nashville guy.
Yes, I live in Nashville now. I'm from Baltimore originally. I lived in that city for 20 some years.
Nice. And did you start comedy in Baltimore or did you start in Nashville?
I started in Baltimore. Yeah, I started in Baltimore and DC, kind of driving between the cities are only like 45 minutes apart, so
Okay.
When you start out there, the scenes overlap a bunch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And did you start at like the Port, or was it what was that other the Comedy Loft?
No,
or the
Improv? No. Magoobie's Joke House.
That's the other one I've heard of.
Timonium. Where is Magoobie's? Yeah. Magoobie's is in Timonium, which is like maybe a half hour north of downtown. It's
downtown
not
Baltimore?
Near the. Yeah, it's not really near the city.
That's kind of like our funny bone up here.
Yes. Yeah. It's like the funny bone, or even a Go Bananas is in like Blue Ash or Hamilton.
It's in Montgomery / Blue Ash.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's, yeah, Magoobie's is like out in the middle. And so the building itself is it's half a U.S. mail processing facility and then half comedy clubs.
So fun.
The ceilings are absolutely massive. It's terrible for that kind of situation. It's a good club though. Well, when they fill it up,
because
it's it's like arena seating almost, and they have like silhouettes of George Carlin and Richard Pryor on the walls, and they play the walkout music before every show. They play the same like it's showtime like sound compilation, and one they like do the like comedy's greatest hits, so interspliced with like rock music. There's seven words you can't say on television, and then like another guitar riff, and then like Chris Rock going, "There's two kinds of black people." And it's like, what is this? Yeah, I remember it very well. It's great.
Do you remember so from Gomez, do you remember what our intro song was?
Ooh, no. What? It's not Flashlight, is it? That like 70s song?
No.
Well, what's the Go Bananas song?
So they dim the lights. No, they turn the lights off, and then they play "Mama Said Knock You Out" by LL Cool J.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds familiar.
And then they just play that intro. They do the off stage. It's because of that. I'm convinced there is no rap song I've heard more than Mama Said Knock You Out solely because of Go Bananas.
Yeah. Yes. Haney's does the whole band, like the Blues Brothers stuff before every single show for the last like 40 years.
Which club does that?
It's Zany's in Nashville. Is that before every show?
Get in.
It's a good time. I loved Go Bananas. Honestly, that was a really, really fun time.
And I think the scene, I mean, we got so many good clubs in the country, but I'm biased towards Go Bananas. Like, Go Bananas, like, the comics make it great. It's run pretty much by comedians. It's run by comedy fans. The comics are cooks. The comics are bartenders. They're door guys, ticket guys. They do everything there.
And
And
the crowd loved comedy too. The crowd was really into it.
You really got to find the place.
Yeah, right. You got to. It was hard for me to find the first time, and it was still. I love Cincinnati. It was. I was pleasantly surprised. It was cool.
Yeah, everyone here is super cool, and I've loved Nashville every time I've gone. I haven't really I've done two shows there. I did Liquid Smoke one night. That show.
Murphy's
always Bureau, forget the name of the town that it's in. It's where MTSU is.
Home of Middle Tennessee State.
Murfreesboro. That's what it is.
Murfreesboro. Yeah, it's.
That show I
it's
ran
okay
into,
if you get it wrong no problem.
That show I ran into John Christ there, actually.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. They get a lot of people down there.
Yeah, him and Matt Taylor were just at the show together. And I actually, so funny, I told Matt this story. You know his fucking his Jathan joke that blew up?
Yeah.
Do you know who sent me that joke randomly one day?
No.
My mother. Just randomly. Yeah. I'm just like, she sent me that joke out of the blue, and I'm like, I know this guy.
Yeah, that's how you know it went like mega viral. It's just everyone sees it and sends it to you. That went huge, and the running joke in the scene in like Nashville was who would have thought that the first person with like a mega viral joke about a speech impediment would be Matt and not the upset of the year, really.
What got you started in stand up? Like, when did you start? Why did you start?
I started when I was a teenager. It was like my last year of high school, and just kind of really wanted to. So I just Googled open mics near me, and this was like 2013 and stuff. And went to a few and just found a few in Maryland, started doing it, never really stopped. And now it's been over 10 years now. So comedy was just always something I wanted to do. It was never kind of like I started writing jokes when I was in middle school. It was very kind of, stand-up was just always on and around, you know. You downloaded like comedy albums on your iPod Shuffle back in the day. It was just kind of no big like story other than I just always loved it and still do. So
what kind of jokes did you write when you were younger? Because like I started writing jokes in high school as well. I wanted to know like what jokes you wrote.
Very, very one-linery, like super kind of like Mitch Hedberg and like Dimitri Martin kind of one-liner styles. Because those were kind of, when you're a kid, those are like the most relatable things, I feel like.
Yep. It's short. It keeps your attention span. Like 13-year-olds aren't like keen to listening to, they don't have the best attention spans.
A 13-year-old isn't gonna love Seinfeld's like marriage material.
No.
People just like complaining about, you know, taxes and politics, it doesn't hit the same way. They need like a Jim Gaffigan talking about Hot Pockets and or something in that,
or they need
that vein. Like
a clean comic that both mom and the kid can laugh at, one of which recently hosted Saturday Night Live, dude.
Oh, yeah. That was Nate, really. He did great, and he was very – I've never seen him act before, but he did exactly, like, the best version of what it could have been, where it was very deadpan and, like, never really broke at all, no matter how funny any of the sketches were. Sometimes the hosts are, you know – big laughers, and that was like Judge has delivered the lines and did great.
Because as comedians, we're around the funniest people in the world a few times a week at least.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're like in a sketch like that, you're prepared for it. You're not gonna like break out in laughter constantly. You're just like, I'm ready for this.
Yeah, exactly. And and Nate in particular is like a very hard laugh. He's like a hard guy to make laugh.
Yeah.
And so that was just like perfect for him. George Washington skit, he was just saying like very funny lines, very matter of factly, while everyone else is kind of, even like Keenan Thompson, who's been there for as long as I've been alive, was breaking down a little bit.
That line where he says there's a little kicking is perfect.
Yeah. I actually went to the Ravens Titans game across the pond in London.
How was that?
And it was great. It was like one of the best sports experiences I've ever had. It was
That's
so much fun.
Item for me.
If the Bengals ever are over in London or Germany, you gotta go. It was insanely fun,
especially Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I mean, Germany got a 10-6 baseball game this Sunday.
Yeah. They got who knew Frankfurt was Big Ten country? That was crazy.
What jerseys were they sporting?
So every I saw 1,000 Bengals jerseys when I was there. It was technically a Titans home game, and so I saw maybe 12% Titans jerseys. It was like probably another like 40-50% Ravens jerseys. And then the rest like were just every other team from all of history of football. Like,
and that's
even football
why I love
movies.
It so much.
Like,
they're just happy to have us.
I saw a few Steve McNair Ravens jerseys, like multiple Steve McNair Ravens jerseys over there.
That's so
from people
fun.
Who didn't want to pick a side. Yeah, there was a German Ravens fan in front of us. He was loving it. We were talking to him, and then just other people around us didn't know what was going on, but were having the best time. Especially like Devin Duvernay broke a big punt return for like 70 or 80 yards, and like it's, I don't care if you don't know anything about football, that is so exciting to watch.
Yep, it's so fun.
And then when I was there, whenever the Titans kicked a field goal, they played the like a little kind of "you got to kick a little to be sure," whatever that country song is. We're like, "you got to give a little," but they made it "you got to kick a little." So I guess they play that at Titans home games, as they play the like Tim McGraw being like, "I like it, I love it, I want some more." Whenever there's a touchdown or like a goal at a Predators game,
yep.
So there even it was like a little kicking reference. But that game also had the most field goals of any like London game, and my friend and I who like came over with me whenever Justin Tucker or like Nick Folk lined up for a field goal, we were just like, "Hey, they love kicking over here. We can't go for this. Why deny them of what they love?" You know, gotta just take the points.
I mean, they love goals over in England. That's fucking awesome. Yeah. That's such a bucket list thing for me.
The stadium was amazing too. They like, I haven't been to a new kind of state of the art stadium yet. Like none of the big ones here, like SoFi or Allegiant or anything.
Yeah.
I've been to like Nissan Stadium and the Ravens Stadium, which is nice. But this one that they built for Tottenham, like the NFL helped provide some of the money to build this absolute like massive state of the art facility.
That's so cool.
And like the way the beers worked was like they just lined up 12 beers on this like jet system, and someone just went back and was like, do you want a lager or an ale? It's like, I'll do a lager. And they just go, choo-choo, and they fill up like 12 at a time and then hand them to everybody. There were like no lines. The beer wasn't that expensive. You know, it was probably
unbelievable.
5 to 7 pounds, I think. And then the food, I got this like pulled pork over waffle fries with cheese covered on it. It was like maybe 10 pounds and it didn't take any time. It was delicious. It was awesome.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah, it was like one of the highlights of the game too. And the Ravens won pretty big. So that eating that, it was good pulled pork for North London.
That's it. I mean, it's just like, I mean, for it seems like for like NFL games, you just get like whatever food. It's like, yeah. I mean, I go to Bengals games, and I get like chicken tenders every time, and it's fine. Yeah. But it's like, I think it's like the greasiness of that, like the more you're putting in your face, the just like, this is what it should be.
Mm-hmm. It was great. The seats we had also folded up, and you had like a standing section. So everyone kind of stood and had this like huge space to kind of move around and watch the game in front of their seat. It was wild.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And we just ended up like never heading down, going nuts. And before the games too, you don't really like, there's no tailgate because there's not really a parking lot or anything outside. So
it's just public transit like, to the stadium.
Public transit, and everyone filled the like the local pubs that I guess people go to for the Tottenham games. Like he went to the Bricklayer's Arms, and it looked like Harry Potter world. And we were just like chugging pitchers of beer. It was awesome. It felt like I was in Universal Studios, like non-zero chance. It was like that. It was wild.
That's so fun, dude. I'm glad you had such a good time. It makes me want to go so bad.
Then so after the game, my buddy, there was a former Washington D.C. comedian who was British. He moved back over there and is doing stuff now. So we met with him, went to the game with him, went to watch the Commanders game at a pub afterwards that had Red Zone and Sunday Ticket. So they were showing all of the games at this pub. And so people in like a guy in a Steelers jersey and a Packers jersey came up to me, and they were both like British kids, a little bit younger than me, probably in their mid-20s. And
that's
like
so fun.
And we're like, we got into this 5 years ago, and it's the best. And then so they had Red Zone on one of the TVs, and like all the other TVs had us like the 1 o'clock games, which come on around 6 p.m. over there, which is a great time.
That's not bad at all. And then the fucking 4 p.m. games are 9.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awful for the night games because it's like 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like and most of them
like,
don't have
like last night. It's like, oh, Jets Raiders, let's go to bed.
Yeah, exactly. And most of them don't do fantasy football for that kind of reason, because it's just like too hard. You know, a game time decision. You're like, I'm not staying up till 1 in the morning to find out if I should bench Cortland Sutton or something. You know, yep. This is I gotta work tomorrow.
Yep.
But right. Yeah, they were cool. They turned off the games to put on the Rugby World Cup, and people were booing. It was crazy. It was like
you would think
nothing I'd ever seen. Yeah, it was fantastic.
That's so cool, man. I had no like. It's like I knew that people loved the NFL over in Europe. Mm-hmm. I had no idea because I thought it was just a small following. I had no idea the magnitude of the popularity. Mm-hmm. Of the NFL in London or in Germany.
Yeah, I think the two biggest markets, but there was, I think a French guy was standing next to us by the end of the game. We got our picture with, but never learned his name or where it was from, but he was very excited to see like Americans. It was much shorter than us and seemed French or Italian. I couldn't.
God.
That point we had a few too many pints, but it was fun.
But holy shit, dude, that makes me want to go. Honestly, I'd go even if it wasn't a Bengals game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the Bengals play in Europe, it's a motivating factor, but
yeah. And that's the thing. I feel like the NFL is just sending it every team. I think every team has been over there now at least once.
I remember one year the Bengals played Washington. And mm-hmm. I think this is when Kirk Cousins played for them. And that game, do you remember how that ended?
Did Kirk win? Like, Washington won on a field goal?
It was a tie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a tie.
That's right. Wow. Well, they love ties over there. So why deprive them of that?
I can't imagine. Well, we'll get to Bengals soccer in a sec, but and a little bit of Ravens soccer. But I can't imagine going to a soccer stadium, just packing it out, 100,000 people for a 0-0 tie.
Yeah.
What? I mean, if you're a soccer fan, you're a soccer fan, but what is the appeal of that?
It's 90 minutes of action, I guess. Yep. You get to go home early. It's not a full day's commitment.
It's like, what, two and a half hours?
It's about 2 hours, yeah. Just it's a 90-minute game with, like, a two-hour halftime. Or, like a 15-minute, and it's at half for the most part. So it's usually under 2 hours. That's why they like it. Because yeah. I think you think about it, like, baseball isn't fun over there because you're just standing in the rain for, like, 3 to 4 hours.
Yep.
Like, you need a sport where you're in and out quick because the weather is terrible.
Yep. Oh yeah, I get that. But speaking of things that are terrible, Donnie, I don't know if you, because you said you caught a little bit of the game, but woof. I do a little bit of writing for my friend for the Bengals. I called it a Jekyll and Hyde kind of performance.
Mm-hmm.
It was like there were moments where Burrow looked incredible. His touchdown pass to Trenton Irwin was a dime.
Mm-hmm.
His touchdown pass to Chase, a dime. He also threw two picks on back-to-back drives in the fourth quarter, which was absolutely brutal. I was there for it, actually.
Are you in what? Oh, was that game in Houston or Cincinnati?
That game was in Cincinnati.
Okay. That was in Houston for some reason. But yeah, it was a. Yeah. What was the environment like in the stadium for that game? Like, was it, oh no, to doom and gloom, or like kind of a party atmosphere until the fourth quarter?
Party atmosphere. Little bit of doom and gloom. Then it's 27-17. Then CJ Stroud gets picked off. I don't know. Have you seen much of Cam Taylor-Britt, if at all?
No.
He's our defensive back. He picked off Stroud and ran it back. Very nearly picked sixed him, but Tank Dell tackled him at the four. And then, like, fans, I'm at the game. When Burrow threw another pick, and then fans just start leaving. And then, like, three plays later, Stroud throws another pick, and Cam Taylor-Britt runs it to the four-yard line. And then fans are like, yeah, no, we're still going to leave.
Oh.
And they scored again, and then Tyler Boyd had, like, a 64-yard catch to take it to, like, inside their 10-yard line. And then Boyd had, like, a brutal drop in the end zone.
It was brutal. I did see that one. Just a high school player would have been disappointed with themselves.
Yep. And he just juggled it, and he just couldn't maintain control. It's just like an under pressure choke. And I've loved Tyler Boyd for years. I remember, can I say this? And please don't take this the wrong way. There was a moment about 6 years ago. Free meeting ends in 10 minutes. You remember what play I'm talking about?
It's the
one where Dalton threw it to Boyd, and it
The fourth and 12? Yeah. Wasn't it like fourth and 12 from the 57-yard line?
Yep.
I know exactly the play.
Yep. And there, I remember it was like New Year's Eve. And I remember like watching just the next day, just watching a compilation of Bills fans just going insane.
Mm-hmm.
And it, I think, didn't that like knock you guys out of the playoffs?
Yep. All we had to do was not give up a touchdown.
It's
and sure
it's,
enough.
It's ancient history at this point, but
no, it's no. But blowing it in the spirit of the Ravens, blowing it in a the most dramatic way possible is alive and well.
Yep. Which, by the way, I mean, I'm always saying this because I know you're going to kick our ass on Thursday because we're out a few key players. When Tyler Huntley tried to dive over and it was tipped out. I was, no exaggeration, probably 30, 40 yards from that exact play when that happened.
Which goal line?
It was the south goal line.
Yeah.
And Sam Hubbard just ran it back, and it is literally the loudest I've ever heard that stadium.
I can imagine. That play was like, you were one season too early for the tush push. Like, have you ever seen Jalen Hurts go over the top? No. Nobody. I'm so surprised, like, that play doesn't happen more often when players stick the ball up and go for it. Like, you've never seen it before, and it just happened to be the Ravens were about to go up a touchdown instead, down a touchdown, and it's just a full moment. I mean, talk about a momentum swing. Yeah. Talk about a momentum swing. Like, that is the most, like, tangible, like, momentum swing, I think, in the history of football. That was insane. In your home stadium?
I've never seen anything like that. I literally, okay, and again, I'm sorry. I'm a friendly rival. When that play happened, I didn't even cheer. I just stood with my jaw dropped. I'm like, what am I watching right now?
I felt the same way because you never see that. Like you never see the ball get punched for a fumble all the way for a return for a touchdown from
that
the
was inch line. Like, that was such a lucky play. And also we may have gotten away with a block in the back.
Yes, I do remember that, but that's old. I am not in the business of blame. I'm not an officials guy. It's like, there are so many plays that could decide every game, and you just can't put yourself in the hands of it to be overruled by an official. You got to go out and do what the Ravens did to the Lions and the Seahawks. They are the better team and they're capable of that. So just if you don't want to put it up to chance, then go bludgeon the other team.
Yep. So one thing with the refs that bugs me, it said like every fan base thinks the refs hate them more than any other fan. It's like every fan base kind of jerks off to this us against the world mentality when it comes to like refs and like commentators. It's like they hate us, but we love us. And I find it incredible.
And could you imagine doing that as a Steelers fan? Did you see the call that he got yesterday? Did you see the call that they got yesterday with the forward pass that was like a yard behind the line of scrimmage that the Packers picked up?
The Steelers or the Bengals?
The Steelers. They would have lost to the Packers. They threw Kenny Pickett throws a screen pass like a yard behind the line of scrimmage. The backward pass and a fumble. Packers pick it up and return it for a touchdown. Everyone's like, that's a fumble. That's recovered for a touchdown. The replay officials were the only ones who said, nope, forward pass.
That's nuts.
Pittsburgh wins.
I did not see that, but
I'm sure there's still Steelers fans who are like, the refs hate us.
Yeah, like the Bengals had one sack yesterday, which was a fumble. It was like CJ Stroud was throwing. And it looked like he had a forward motion, but Logan Wilson and Trey Hendrickson like sacked him and they reviewed it and they said it was a fumble and it was recovered by the Bengals. So we might have gotten away with that too. I was in my seat like, I'll take it.
It happens. Yeah, it's so much harder to see the like the intricacies of the those calls from inside the stadium when you're not watching it at home with like 5,000 he plays and a guy who's like, it's my job to head at home and say that guy's knee was down. It's not a fumble. Let's bring in our rules expert. That guy's knee was down. It's not a fumble. Yeah, Dean Blandina, some like resident Italian who loves the rules.
Let's bring in Anthony DeVito's guy. Let's bring in Italy Lasagna. Yeah.
Italy. Sorry, that's Dean Blandino. Sorry, hi, I'm Dan. I'm Dean Blandino. Actually, it's close enough.
Just some quick stats for the game. Burrow was 27 of 40, 347 yards and 2 touchdowns, 1 to Irwin, 1 to Jamar. Joe Mixon, 11 carries, 46 yards and a touchdown. Leading receivers, Jamar Chase, 5 receptions, 124 yards and a touchdown. Boyd had 8 for 117 and those drops. Tanner Hudson, 6 receptions, 33 yards. Burrow's first 5 completions of the game were to Tanner Hudson, our tight end. I don't know how, you probably don't know much about him. Like, I didn't even know anything about him until like a few weeks ago.
No. Is he worth picking up in fantasy?
No.
No. Good. Okay. Then no.
Who do you have right now as a tight end? Because it's such a weird position.
It is a very weird position. I have Kincaid, who I picked up. I went with Jonnu, just kind of going through the ringer with like free agent waiver wire pickups over time, because the best one was Kincaid, and then I Dallas Goedert was injured, and then a few others, but EJ Uzomah was the Bengals tight end who used to kind of destroy us.
CJ, do you miss him at all? What a guy,
Uzomah.
Yeah, it's Uzomah.
Are the Bengals missing him at all right now, or
the what? Oh, he's a Jet.
Yeah. I know. Are they missing him?
So we had one of your old guys who actually I got to know his family a little bit, but we had Hayden Hurst for a
little bit. Hurst. Everyone forgets he drafted him before Lamar.
Yep, and before Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is a crazy draft.
Yeah.
A couple more. Sorry, what were you going to say?
Now, is Hayden Hurst on the Panthers now?
Yes, he is.
That's what I thought, yeah. I remember he played very well for you guys in the playoff game a lot.
Yeah, he did. He was awesome, and I miss him, but – it seems like we've kind of figured out like a tight end by committee kind of situation.
Yeah.
So it looks like the Zoom link is going to cut out here in a sec. I'm going to cut the video. I'll send you a new Zoom link here in a sec.
Great. Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. This has been sponsored by Jack Link's Beef Jerky. I'm kidding. We can't afford sponsors. We are back. Holy shit. It is a little awkward because, like, the previous recording, Donnie and I were my camera was a little out of sync, and now I have to kind of have my computer on to record and my phone on so I can do Zoom. So basically, I'm seeing my face in two different places. It's a little strange, but we're making it work. Donnie, I'm happy we're able to make this work now. But dude, we were talking about Hayden Hurst prior.
Oh yeah, that's great. Her back. I'm sure Hayden misses being on a winning team with a nice orange color scheme too to match. That orange hair coming out of the back of the helmet was something else.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was just like, it's always fun seeing like hair come out of the back. It just like adds like an extra level of charm to the player.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
For the Bengals, I think like Trenton Irwin's that player now. He's like our fourth wide receiver.
Yeah, well, now that you Jadeveon Clowney rushing the quarterback looking is awesome. It's so fun when it's on your team and it's going well.
How's he doing this year?
Great. He's been a surprisingly healthy and consistent and consistently producing too. We're still leading the league in sacks.
Really? I know the Ravens are leading the league in sacks. I thought Danielle Hunter had the league lead.
No. He's not like individually the leading. Yes, the team's leading, but Clowney's out there on a lot of downs where you think he might need a breather or not play anymore. He's there rushing the passer effectively.
Let me see how many sacks Jadeveon Clowney has this year?
I do not off the top of my head.
Yeah. Because I know Trey Hendrickson has 8.5, and I think he might be out this Thursday because who was it? Noah Brown, I think, landed on his leg and like it hyperextended his knee.
Oh.
And we also might not have Sam Hubbard, so Lamar Jackson might be all alone in the pocket on Thursday.
That'd be great. Our starting left tackle, Ronnie Stanley, definitely picked up an injury in the Cleveland game this weekend, and he is day-to-day. Both Stanley and Marlon Humphrey picked up pretty significant injuries that some, like, Twitter doctors were saying was a torn Achilles, and that's just totally, like, wrong. They were just spreading misinformation. Humphrey might play Thursday. Stanley also might play.
Jadeveon Clowney has 5.5 sacks.
Yeah, he's playing great.
Yeah, not bad. Because, like, Jadeveon Clowney is always the guy who's like, he signs every August because, like, he just waits for that team to give him a 4-year, $40 million deal. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's that player anymore. No offense to Jadeveon, but he's consistent. He's good when healthy. I mean, like, he's not the Hall of Famer people thought he was going to be, but
yeah, there was good. So much hype on him coming out of college.
Like, that 2014 draft was, like, so many, so many players from my, like, really formulative football years when I was in college, like, came out of that draft where it was, like, actually, I'll take that back. The formative, like, years of my 20s where it was, like, Mike Evans was in that draft and then OBJ was in that draft. Aaron Donald was in that draft.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many incredible players. I'm sure I'm glossing over a few. But then the first three picks were Clowney, Greg Robinson, and Blake Bortles.
Yeah, that's that. I was just like, insanely deep at talent too outside of quarterback. That was one of the most like non-quarterback heavy like talent pools.
I remember 2014, it was like Teddy Bridgewater was like the last pick in the first round. I'm pulling it up right now because I'm just trying to figure out who this was. Oh yeah, and the fourth pick was Sammy Watkins. I remember that.
He was
a former Raven. He had a couple former of Raven. Ravens, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He was okay.
Yep. He was also like the hot shot, like Clemson product, like golden boy. And then he just like has been fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if he's still in the league anymore.
That's a very good Super question. Bowl
might have won a Super Bowl with Kansas City. He hasn't played for Baltimore for a minute.
No. I'm pulling it up right now. Oh, Khalil Mack was in that draft.
Wow.
Shazier. Brandon Cooks. Manziel was in that draft.
Johnny Football himself.
Oh, yeah. So Donnie, before we get into the roast, which you said you used to write, what was the thing you did that Fox kind of nipped in the bud?
I was called NFL Fan Therapy. It's still out there. It's on YouTube and Instagram. I lived in New York and I played the Ravens fan on the this like group therapy sketch show. So each like video was a fan of the team complaining to like a therapist in a group therapy session about like the problems they were having because of their team. And I happened to be able to do it during the, like, 2019 season, too, which was Lamar's MVP year, first MVP year, hopefully. So
And the Bengals went that was 2-14 that year.
Yeah. Yep. But they got Joe Burrow.
Yep. And I remember I was at the game where it was a week 17 game where they played the Browns. And I predicted the Bengals would win. And they did. Mm-hmm. And I said, if Randy Bullock makes his field goal, Freddie Kitchens loses his job. Yeah. Both of those things happened.
I think Washington was only like one win away and like a meaningless win at the end of the season away from getting Joe Burrow and not Chase Young.
Yep. And
that really could have been, for your franchise to have not gotten Joe Burrow and to have had Chase Young instead would have been.
I think.
What is the alternate timeline?
Tua.
They would have drafted Tua instead of Chase.
I'm convinced they would have drafted Tua because Andy Dalton was gone and we needed a rookie quarterback. It would have been Tua. It could have been Herbert. But yeah,
they would have been fine, but not back to back AFC championships.
Yep. And Tua has been good, but it's been elevated by Tyreek and Jalen Waddle. But
Burrow's clearly earned the number one pick and was it for a reason in backing it up.
Yep. And I'm grateful to have him. I'm grateful you guys have Lamar because that was the year, 2019 was the year that Lamar juked two of our defenders at once.
That was like one of the greatest runs and hit one spin move, just knocked two guys out. It was late in the game too, when it didn't really matter, but he takes
y'all
off and
smoked us that game.
Just running, literally running laps around the Bengals defense.
As many bad memories as I brought up to you during this episode, you earned that one.
That was great. Yeah. Not playoffs, fumble in the jungle. What of those caused us the playoffs? That was like a fun Twitter highlight for the afternoon.
Yeah, it's been on his highlight reel. It was like when Lamar won MVP, it's like that play is going to be in his highlight reel forever.
That play will be in Canton, hopefully.
Does Lamar have a shot at the Hall of Fame? I know it's early.
Still very early. I think if he wins the Super, like if he adds Super Bowl and Super Bowl MVP to his resume, and he really hasn't delivered in the playoffs yet. He has one win over the Tennessee Titans. Like that, you can't go to the Hall of Fame if with his current playoff record. And all it takes is one game to knock you out like each year. And if the Ravens have shown anything, it's that they're capable of absolutely collapsing and absolutely destroying teams. So
yep,
it's not fun to watch.
They have Cowboys itis.
Yeah. Hanging on by a thread. They're such a good, strong, well-rounded team and still find a way to just blow. Justin Tucker this year has not really played up to the potential.
He's always the consensus number one kicker in fantasy football, save for 2023.
Yeah.
Which is nuts to me because, Tucker is one of the best kickers I've ever seen.
Yeah. He's had statistically the greatest of all time, but just a blocked 55-yarder yesterday. He came up short on a 60-yarder that would have beat. He's one for five, I think, from field goals over 50 yards this season.
Which is normally his bread and butter, isn't it?
Yeah, that is absolutely where he makes his money. And earns his reputation as the best. But he's also, he does not miss from inside 50 usually.
Yep. Well, also, if you don't miss from inside 50 and are also very good from beyond 50, that just makes you a good fucking kicker.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, every game comes down to one play. And I mean, the last Ravens Bengals game was decided by three. So I don't see why this week would be any different. Unless Lamar has all day to throw and can pick you apart. And the Ravens can run, if they can win at the line of scrimmage. Cleveland won at the line of scrimmage. That's why the Ravens lost.
Well, the Bengals will be without it. It looks like they will be without Trey Hendrickson. They could also be without Sam Hubbard, which will be very tough for us. But and also Lamar, I checked this today. He's like the seventh most sacked quarterback in the NFL right now.
Mm-hmm. Our offensive line hasn't played. Have either dominated or gotten dominated. They're not.
Yep.
They're a very Jekyll and Hyde offensive line.
Yep.
Our guard Simpson is either like destroying people 10 yards downfield or just getting run over. People have run past Ronnie Stanley and he's hurt. So he's the guy we paid all the money to instead of Orlando Brown Jr.,
which is what we did this offseason.
Yep.
It's going okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all – every team, I think every fan group also, as much as they complain about the refs, also complains about their offensive line. And it's just because it's much easier to rush the pass. The league is so pass-heavy, and, like, pass rush is such a glamour position now, I think, that, like, more people want to do it, and it's such a – to get your name out there, you know, the TJ, the most like known players outside of like quarterback skill position players are pass rushers.
Yep. So like there's a statistic that every number one overall pick in the NFL draft since 1997 has either been a quarterback, offensive tackle, or defensive end.
Yeah.
The last one was 1996 was Keyshawn Johnson. That was the last number one overall pick that was not a quarterback, offensive tackle, or defensive end, or edge rusher.
Yeah, right. They're all – I know every draft it's the – are you going to take Hutchinson or like – are you going to take like Chase Young or like you got to – there's always guys up there because they're the most sought after kind of positions in the league. And I think that the other like glamour play that pops on TV is the sack. The sack is like a very kind of –
it's a glamorous, like it gets the people pumped up.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And all like, I remember I heard a story recently about when when Houston was in the 2006 draft, when they had the opportunity to select Reggie Bush, they were like, no, we're going to go with Mario Williams because we have to play Peyton Manning twice a year.
Yeah.
It turned out to be the better pick.
Yeah. It really did. And then they got J.J. Watt and Peyton Manning went to the Broncos.
Yep. but also, so all that aside, Donnie, I brought you here for a very specific reason. We got to take your team. We got to take your team down.
Hey, we're doing a good enough job of taking ourselves down. So let's see how many how well this goes, and if there's any Arbaugh's involved in this one. You never know when they might be watching.
Yes, of course. We will all, like always, I forgot to tell you, we write mascot jokes too, and owners and GMs and head coaches. But if you know anything about these guys, feel free to chime in. We're going to start with the mascot, Alan. Alan, an old mascot, is said to represent the Ravens receivers and running backs, which explains all the time Alan has spent on my fantasy football bench.
Alan? Poe?
It's like Edgar Allen, and they have three mascots: Edgar Allen and Poe.
Hey, dude! They tried to get rid of Edgar and Allen for a few years, and then the mascot who played Poe broke his leg, so they brought back the other two, and had this big reveal of them like being like trucked in and like hatching out of eggs. It was bizarre.
Yeah, and they took off Poe's when Poe tore his ACL, like they took off his head, and they revealed it was J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah, it's a fate worse than death. Ravens running backs and mascots, apparently.
And Ravens Ravens running backs' girlfriends. Sorry, I had to get one in. Yep.
Hey, I love Joe Mixon's work. on and off the field.
Fair. I earned that one. That is complete. Fine.
The Saint. What is, when is his Saint Day? What's
his day? When's his Saint Day?
Yeah. When is Joe Mix? No, he is no Saint, but they would do they? I know in the green room of Go Bananas, they have all those like candles that are like Catholic shrines to the the Bengals players. I don't think there's a Joe Mixon one.
I don't think there is one either. I met him once when I was downtown, and he was kind of standoffish.
Yeah, so. Got to keep your hands up.
Yep. the owner, Steve Biscotti. What are your thoughts on Steve Biscotti?
Steve Bisciotti, one of the Bisciotti? Most famous Italians. Yes, Steve Bisciotti. He's great. He is big Maryland sports fan. My cousin has bartended for him before. She used to. He comes to like the bar in College Park, Bentley's, before Terps games, which is like the dirtiest like sports bar, like typical college bar.
Okay.
And apparently very nice. Hangs out with like Gary Williams and everybody. Kind of a quiet stick to yourself owner who does his like State of the Ravens once a year. And I think that's what you want from the owner for the most part, a good tipper and mostly quiet other than to address the team needs.
Yep. I've been saying Biscotti for fucking years. I had no idea it was Steve Bisciotti.
No, he's not. No, he's just a tiny cookie. Like, how are they so good? They're owned by a tiny Italian cookie.
Yeah, he looks like he starred in the new Jim Varney movie, Ernest Goes to Vote Against Funding for Palestine. And he looks like the kind of guy who has a portrait of himself that's made entirely out of cigars.
He is the strange. Well, Joe Burrow needs one of those. He smokes after he gets his dry cleaning picked up. You know, he's just a. He'll celebrate it. When did they smoke cigars last year after clinching a wild card berth? Did they light up cigars after the fumble in the jungle? I think I remember seeing that, and it really.
I'm sure they did. Okay.
It's like they'll just light up.
So I forgot to say this. My favorite kind of play, and I'm not just saying this because the Bengals are, this is my legitimate take. My favorite kind of play in the NFL is a thick six. Mm-hmm. It's when the big guy runs with the ball. It's my favorite thing in the world to watch.
Yeah.
So when Sam Hubbard ran that back, my instant reaction was like, the big man touchdown.
Yeah, nothing beats a big man touchdown.
The bastard, the big man especially running like 70 yards.
What when they're shedding tackles too, it makes it even better.
Yeah.
When they're getting away with illegal blocks in the back, makes it even
better. I've said that Bengals fans have tried to be like, well, if you watch the tape, shut up. We got away with it. I will admit it's that fun. We very much got away with it.
Also, I don't know. There's also something to be said about just like letting the play stand. Sometimes, and like when the moment is that big, like just like to piss off a whole stadium full of people is insane.
Yep.
And like to go back and recall it, don't over litigate things, just like let the moment be the moment and everyone scream and have a good time and not have to worry about the wait, there's a penalty, there's a flag down that. Like they, especially when they throw it late, and I know that's always the worst. When you're watching a game sometimes, and like the play's over, everybody's up dancing. There's the punter's coming out, and then you see the flag just like blip through the screen a little bit. You're like, oh come on.
Yep. It's my take with that is it also wouldn't have affected things that much because the alleged block in the back happened with like. What was it? It was on like the Ravens, like the 40-yard line.
Yeah.
So I think it would have been like a, would it have been a spot of the foul penalty?
I think spot of the foul and then 15 yards back from that. But I mean, it's still Bengals ball. All the, that's like you talk of it's the momentum swing.
Yep.
Is
that's where I'm at.
I mean, if you're a Ravens fan and you fumble, even if they don't score, you're like, we're done. I mean, we're done. They're going to score on this next drive. Like, the whole stadium's behind. Like, they couldn't be more fired up. It's just tough. It's tough watching knowing that something like that's coming.
Yeah. And the coach that saw that for the Ravens, what are your takes on Brock Purdy's dad.
Which I think it's dangerous to, I know, think about John Harbaugh being Brock Purdy's dad, because imagine how many kids Jim Harbaugh has fathered in secrecy.
And now he has a lot more time on his hands.
Exactly. What's he? It's worse when you don't know what he's up to, you know?
Yeah.
Well, when he's right there on the sidelines, you can see him. He's not cheating. Yeah. I'm glad he beat them in the Super Bowl, too. That was very satisfying.
Yeah, that's right. It was the John versus Jim fucking coaching. Mm-hmm. But honestly, dude, John Harbaugh is, like, honestly one of the better coaches in the league, and it's probably not even close.
Definitely. I just don't know what this issue of the blown fourth quarter leads is coming down to. Like, is that on coaching? Is that on players? Is that on scheme? Is that on, like, just energy? I really don't know.
Is it letting your foot off the gas when you think you have a win?
Yeah. And it's happened like 5 or 6 times now in the last 2 seasons, and it's just like,
yep,
we got to change something up. And people are starting to call for that. There's some whispers that this could be John Harbaugh's last year if that stays the way it is.
Who would you get as a coach, though?
Probably one of either our offense or defensive coordinators are both poised for head coaching jobs. So.
Yeah, like Lou Anarumo, our defensive coordinator, seems to be kind of on his way out, because he's like one of the better coordinators in the league, and he was a head coaching candidate last year.
Yeah, Mike McDonald, our defensive coordinator, I would actually like to have. He's one of those boy geniuses, but on the defensive side of the ball. And
yeah,
Todd Monken might have had a shot before, and like what one of those young coaches that you can hopefully have for a while to run the team and just keep it stable the way the Ravens always kind of keep it stable, and maintaining that consistency and culture is very important.
So like, I've also never, and we'll get to Lamar in a sec, but like, I can't think of a time that the Ravens were truly a bad team.
Kyle Bowler years. Those were tough.
Fair.
The Kyle Bowler,
Mark Clayton years?
Possibly, yeah. And Todd Heap was probably our best offensive weapon.
Anytime you get a white tight end with a one syllable name, the crowd just chants like Heap.
The crowd goes nuts.
Because the Bengals did that for T. Higgins.
T is nice. He is nice. Is he going to play?
It's a short week, and he was out this Sunday. I'm leaning towards no, but I am not Adam Schefter, so I can't defend
him. Yeah. Okay.
But you know who is going to play on Thursday? One Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
For sure. The should be MVP of this season, yep. The potential. I think everyone was saying he was the MVP candidate. He was playing very well. I mean, the Ravens offense still scored 31 points last week, and you should be able to hold the Browns to less than that with your defense. Lamar did throw 2 interceptions, but it's not the end of the world. Glad he's our quarterback. He's got his money. He's playing free.
Yep.
He's tweeting with weird stuff. Did you see the Johnny tweet?
No, but I did see. Didn't he like tweet at some guy who's like, "Bro, what are you talking about? I'm a pro athlete. I'm a millionaire." What was that tweet again?
He sent a lot of them. I was last season before he got. I think the money thing kind of calmed him down, and like, he's much more like poised and less pressured, and doesn't get in fights with random fans on Twitter anymore. But you know those like random Facebook quizzes that are sometimes like just a math problem, or like,
yeah, it's like I bet like 1% of them, only 1% of Americans solve it, but it's like a simple PEMDAS thing.
It's that, and then he tweeted this thing that was like, it was one of those IQ tests. 98% of people fail. Johnny's wow. father has five sons. One, Zazy. Two, ZZ. Three, Zizy. Four, Zozy. And it's like tricking you to say Zuzi is the fourth because it's A-E-I-O-U. But it says Johnny's father, so the fifth son's name is Johnny. But Lamar responded and said, just Johnny. And then everyone was like, Lamar's locked in. Ravens by 90. And then after that, he went 4-0 and was like, they had that was before the Titans game. So they I rattled off four straight wins and like destroyed the Lions and the Saints in that time. He was like,
yep.
Scoring on every possession, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, like easy MVP of the league. And everyone's like, Lamar since tweeting Johnny, like he's so locked in right now. We have, and then he finally lost, but
yeah,
he lasted five games of pure magic.
That was so fun. I also saw he signed a jersey for Pope Francis.
Did he?
I think so. At one point I saw that on TMZ. We got 10 minutes. Not to be outdone, Ben Roethlisberger signed a jersey for all the priests that were transferred to different parishes.
Good for Pape.
Yeah. We can skip Huntley here since we're running out of time here. Next one, Gussie. Wow, that was really bad. Yes. What do you have on Gus Edwards? Do you have anything on old Gus?
Oh, the Gus bus? Yeah, I mean, he's probably our best player. He's just kind of the tough guy run, keeps it consistent. He was born in Africa and then played college football at Rutgers. So,
oh, wow.
Living the dream. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe they it was like, hey, we have a Rutgers running back that's good now and not a punchy guy.
The real yin and yang of the Ravens backfield.
Yep.
But one thing's for sure, Rutgers cranks out talented running backs.
Yes.
You can't deny the talent.
Never. Justice Hill is another one of the running backs. I forgot to do Keaton Mitchell, who's been a fantasy darling over the last couple weeks. But I found out
Justice... DJ 2K2.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great nickname for him. Justice Hill is brothers with Bengals safety Dax Hill. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Story... Yeah, I knew that.
The real story here is that the Bengals have players that play defense. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Tough game on Sunday. All with that, let's get to those super cool receivers, starting with a guy I can't – it's because of him I can't get that Miley Cyrus song stuck out of my head. What do you have? I can buy my Zay flowers.
Zay's great. It's like – fine. It's one of those things that just says just keep drafting receivers. One of them will find – one of them will be good.
It was
one of the best jokes I think I ever wrote for that NFL fan therapy thing was when it was the 2019 season and the Ravens were really good. It's like the Ravens are on fire, you know, Lamar's slinging it. And he's got great wide receivers. There hasn't been a Hollywood Brown causing this much trouble since Aziz Ansari.
That's so good.
Yeah, that was my favorite.
Speaking of, oh boy, that could get me canceled. I was gonna say, speaking of a Brown who thinks he's in Hollywood, Odell Beckham Jr.,
Kim Kardashian's boyfriend.
Yeah, it's which is proof that you can date whoever you want. Here's a joke. It's proof that when you're famous for being famous, you can date whoever you want, including Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. I'm really the Pete Davidson of that receiving core, I would say.
Yep.
We'll see him host SNL here in a few weeks. Apparently he also has a little bit of a poo fetish. A model said that he came immediately when she showed up to a sexual encounter with his 2023 highlight reel. You know, save for a few games recently.
He took a slant to the house this past weekend. It looked great.
Yeah, and he's been all right for the past couple games, but we'll see how he does.
As long as he can stay healthy and keep the bacteria away and the infections of other kinds too.
Yeah, I mean, he's on the wrong side of 30. People think he made this flashy catch and then had this unbelievable rookie year. And then he's been very good ever since. But then he's had this really slow just downturn. And I'm happy he's doing well on the Ravens this year. Yeah. And you know who else does well for the Ravens? Good old Mark Andrews. What are your thoughts? What are your roasts? I like the guy.
He's been a more productive tight end than Kelsey in fantasy this year.
Yeah. Well, also, Kelsey had a game off, and then
he did his week Argentina. One. He's distracted.
Yeah, he's very distracted.
Mark Andrews is locked in.
Yep. He looks like if he looks like if Drake traded his Degrassi wheelchair for an insulin pump.
Our diabetic king.
Yep. I mean, I saw a video of how he does it, and it's fucking more power to him.
Yeah, a 5-star recruit with type 1. That's what you need.
Yep. But dude, thank you again for coming on. And
of course,
it's been good to talk about football past year. And dude, come back to Cincinnati anytime, man.
I would love to. Yeah, I have one more for Roquan Smith. That's just kind of a funny Yeah, it's not a great roast, but it's Lamar recently tweeted a graphic of a quote a Lamar Jackson. Yeah. Roquan is like a Ray Lewis for us. And it's he's like a Ray Lewis with a better reputation in the city of Atlanta than for us.
I saw this. I submit to Wire Team Sucks every year. It's a NFL roast series.
Yeah,
and I saw someone say the last time a Raven star had a reliable weapon was when Ray Lewis was in Atlanta.
Yep.
Which, that's a great show.
Roquan's a Georgia boy, too. He played for the Dogs and is from there.
Nice. But since we're running low on time, I appreciate it. Dude, Donnie, thank you again for coming on. Come to Cincy anytime.
Thanks for having me. I'm sure I'll be back up.
Yeah, please do. Donnie, do you have any plugs? Where can people find you?
I don't have any plans coming to Cincinnati right now, but I am going to be in Columbus in February, Super Bowl weekend. Actually, I'll be in Columbus, Ohio, doing the Don't Tell shows there.
I need to fucking message Simon again, cause I've been trying to get on those shows.
My beloved Maryland Terrapins men's basketball team is going to play against Ohio. Ohio State at Saturday in Columbus. So I'll be at that game. Terps have a rough start to the year. Then the next Sunday is the Super Bowl. Hopefully the Ravens are in it. And if the Bengals are in it, I will stop by and watch the Super Bowl in Cincinnati if they put it on at Go Bananas or something. So that'd be fun.
I remember when it was on 2 years ago, I was watching at my buddy's house. And I said, if the Bengals win, which they didn't, obviously, I said, if they win, I'm going downtown and blacking out.
Yes. It was close.
Yep, it was close. So where can people find you on the social medias? Are you a Twitter guy?
social media. Yeah, everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, at Don Sengstack, DonSengstack. And yeah, I'll post about dates and stuff. I've got some shows coming up in Nashville. Don't tell this weekend. And then I think I'm closing out. This is at Haney's, the local showcase the night before Thanksgiving. That's my birthday, so that'll be fun.
That rules, dude. like I said, I'm going to be on the road this week. I'm going to be in Chicago this Tuesday. Comedy on State this Wednesday, Minneapolis Thursday through Sunday. Coming back, doing Indianapolis the Sunday show. Hit up Alex Price about the Sunday show.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely would. Yeah, I should. I've never been to Indy, but I got to go there. I'm not going to have anything this Sunday because the Ravens are playing on Thursday. So,
yep, very fair. But
and they're going to win 27-24 Ravens.
I'll say 27-23 Ravens. I'll say that.
All right. We'll see who's right. I price is right, you.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right.
But with that, right. With that, fuck you, Baltimore Ravens. We like the Bengals. Why, man?
Fuck you. We like the Bengals.